Good morning. Yep. Good morning and welcome to the Mount Carmel Church of God. We are happy that you've chosen to worship with us today. A few announcements. First, if you are not on the list and you want to be put on the list to receive text alerts and prayer requests, there's a sign-up sheet on the table in the Northex. Currently, it looks like we are out of the We Believe books, but we'll probably be getting more in. So, also, March 4th, World Day of Prayer at the Mount Carmel Church of God. So right here at 9:15 to 10 o'clock in the morning. Again, March 4th, World Day of Prayer. For more information, there are flyers in the table of Northex. If it's bad weather, then they're going to move it to March 11th. The Lenten service this year will be here at the church Wednesday, March 16th from 6 o'clock, and there'll be soup, and the service is at 7. The 2022 tithe offering envelopes are on the Northex table. If you can, please get the same number you used last year. It's just easier to for David to keep track. Then save the date. The Midwest Regional Conference is going to have a session June 23rd through the 25th, New Beginnings Church of God in Decatur, Illinois. And the special guest will be Marlena Graves. The nursery is looking for two more volunteers, so contact one of the church officials if you're willing to or interested in volunteering in the nursery, like just 1 month out of, or 1 week out of the month. And then, again, as always, please continue to pray for those that are in the nursing home, assisted living, and people that are fighting long-term illnesses such as cancer. And there is a list of individuals that need prayer on the Northex table. And then, and also a reminder, the offering plates are in the back, so please put your offering in there. And at this time, we'll go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to corporately worship you. I just thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ that have come out. And I just pray that you be with Pastor Tim and may the Holy Spirit guide and direct him. And I just pray that you use each one of us to serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Some songs that we Who shakes the whole world? Good morning, church. First things first, thanks for working with us this morning, guys. We started off this during practice, everything was working fine. And after Sunday school, it all went out. So, great times, but at least we can be flexible, we can worship, and we can praise. And let's give it up for the praise team. They did a great job of that this morning and getting us going. Last week, we got to welcome a couple new members to our congregation, and pretty excited about that. We had one more that's going to be joining us, but was not able to be here last week. If I can have Rebecca join us up here. You just love me? Yeah. I'm glad you guys are feeling better. So, this morning what we're doing is we're just reaffirming what God has already done. You're part of this church family already, okay? So I just want to read a little quick passage to you. Acts 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone who was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as he had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying a favor of all the people. Every day in the Lord added to their numbers to those who were being saved. You know, as members of Mount Carroll Church of God, we join together. We worship God together. We work together. We support each other. And I have a couple of questions for you. Have you been born again by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Do you commit your life to follow and serve God as the Lord of your life? If so, answer, I have and I do. Second question, do you accept the Bible as the inspired word of God to make it your guide for your daily living and to do your promise, and do you promise to follow his teaching faithfully? If so, answer, I do and may God help me. Do you promise to support the church faithfully with your prayers, your presence, your God-given talents, and material possessions as the Lord blesses you and prospers you? If so, answer, I will, and may the Lord grant me grace to do so.
I will, and may the Lord grant me grace to do so.
Good job on that last one. All right, now if I can have members of the church, I have a question for you. Do you promise to love and support our new member, showing them sisterly love and brotherly love, and welcoming them in as our family, remembering that we are united in Christ? If so, signify by standing. As pastor of this church, in behalf of the entire family here at Mount Carroll Church of God, it's with great joy that we receive you into fellowship. And may the gifts of your life and experience in Christ unify with ours to complete our worship service to God. May the God of peace bind us together in true covenant and love and service. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Rebecca and just her love and her ability to join us here. Father, we ask that you may just continue to work in her heart as she joins in with the church family. She seeks you in all that she does, and she opens your word, and she trusts you. Father, give us also the love to show to her, that she may just experience such a great love within the community that she knows who you are through our actions. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I got something here. Or I left it in my office. Okay, so you'll get that later. Sorry. Well, that makes it awkward. Good morning, anyways. As we're getting ready to get into the message today, I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty excited about the weather outside. It is getting nice out. And as we continue in the We Believe series, today we're going to be focusing in on the Bible. And we're going to look at what God's Word is and why we have it. The message this morning is going to be different than what I typically preach in the styling. And I know that. Some of it's going to be a history lesson. But I feel like this is so important for us to understand on how we got this and why we have this in our lives. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for each person who is here with us. Father, I ask that you just continue to open our hearts and our minds. And Father, I ask that it's the Holy Spirit that speaks today through me and not my own words. And Father, if I say anything that is not of you, let it fall on deaf ears. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the last couple weeks we talked about who God is. We talked about how God has shown himself in three distinct forms. We often call the Godhead or Trinity. We looked at the Father who started out all of creation, who put this world into motion. He made each of us unique with a purpose and a direction for life. We looked at the Son and the way he made us, gave us the ability to return to the Father and took our punishment that you and I deserved. And then last week, we looked at the third and final one of the Godhead, also known as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of our sins, tugs at our heartstrings, gives us that still small voice inside of us, pushing us to turn back to Jesus and pointing us towards the cross. And that salvation comes through Christ alone. The Holy Spirit is also the one who helps us understand God's Word. He's the one who makes the Bible, opens our eyes to what it says. We believe that the Bible is divinely inspired teaching. That it's through the guidance of the Holy Spirit that the words of the Bible were brought together. It's through the Holy Spirit that we understand the words of the Bible. Now, Christianity is not the only faith that claims to have divinely inspired teachings. I don't know if you guys knew that. But there's others who claim it as well. Some, such as the Mormons, believe that Joseph Smith claimed that the Book of Mormon was inspired through a revelation from an angel. Muhammad, from the Muslims, claimed to have a revelation as well when he wrote the Quran. Plus, there's many other religions as well who've done this, who've made similar claims. The problem comes down to the testing. We need to test the words for consistency. Does it make sense? Does it stand together? And do they explain reality? For the Mormons, for an example, they believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We would agree with them that the Bible is the Word of God. But they believe that there's been extra teachings given as well. And the Mormons aren't the only ones who believe at times that there's been extra teachings given. The problem is, when we put it to the test, you know, Joseph Smith, around 1820, wrote that book. But the book doesn't hold up on its own. It does not go along with the rest of the Word of God. If they want to claim it as the Word of God, it needs to fit the Word of God we already have. And it doesn't fit. Example, they believe that in these teachings that God was originally born a man. And I'm not talking as in Jesus incarnate coming to earth fully God, fully man. I'm talking, they believe that God was a man at first and then later became a God. And they believe that if they are a good Mormon and do things well, they themselves will get to become a god and get to be God over their own planet. And so if we test their writings, nowhere in the scriptures do we even come close to something like that. Muslims, they have something called the Quran. Now, they do look at the Bible as a form of holy book. They don't believe that Jesus was God. Instead, they believe that he was just a prophet. They believe that Muhammad was the final prophet sent by God, and Muhammad wrote the book of the Quran. He claimed that it was divinely inspired by God. The problem they run into is that the Quran is not consistent. The Quran regularly contradicts itself. The Muslims are even told that if they find such contradictions, they are to go with the later teachings instead of the earlier ones. If God inspired such writings, and we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, how is it even underneath one authorship that the Quran cannot stay consistent? These are tests that anytime you look at a religious writings, we need to look at. This morning, though, if we look at the history of the Bible, we find something different. See, the Bible is a collection of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, written in a span of several thousand years, in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. There was roughly 300 years between the Old and the New Testament, and the New Testament writings were completed around 90 AD. It was written by God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by 40-some different authors, each reflecting the culture and environment of the writer as they studied and wrote. It was written by different people with a variety of economic differences and social differences and situations. The authors of these individual books were not all kings and wealthy people. They were not always the higher-ups in society. They didn't always have great parents or providence in society. Yeah, some were wealthy, some were kings. But that wasn't for all of them. Some of them were slaves, some were prisoners. Some were people were rich, some were poor. There were people of every walk of life that God used to write his story, to write his book. And yet the most incredible thing happened. All these diverse authors, all these different peoples from different walks of life, and these different points of history even, they all declared the same God. They all declared the same message. It fits together from Genesis to Revelation. From beginning to end, it all fits together. The odds of that happening are astronomical. Not something that just happens overnight. It's showing that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Painting this picture of man's fall, then God's epic rescue plan for all of humanity. There's no other writings, no other religion on earth that can say that outside the Judeo-Christian faith. Not one. All these writings, we believe, are inspired by the Holy Spirit. It tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. There is no other way that any of this would be possible to have this many different authors, this many different time frames, other than the Holy Spirit working through each one of them, binding them together. Throughout history, I'm going to touch on one other thing. If you've watched if you read the Da Vinci Code, or if you watch the movie and you get these other outside ideas and you say, well, what about these books that were not mentioned that we don't have currently? Why don't we have them? Those were written much later on. Those have dates of around 300 AD. They have dates so much further after Christ. The writings we have as the New Testament were written within a lifespan of Jesus. And they were firsthand accounts written down. These other outside writings that they want to hold up to, it's like the Book of Mormon. They don't hold up to the Word of God. We start putting it under the microscope, and does it fit with God of the Old Testament? And we discover it does not. And that is why we don't have those books in there. That is why they had a council come together and they had to pray over it. And it wasn't about a unanimous vote. It was about having a guidelines of what had to be there. And that is why those books are not in here. I want you to take comfort in knowing that. Now, there's never been another book or writing throughout history that can live up to the Bible. Throughout history, the Bible has been under attack time and time again. We hear people say things like, how do we know the Bible can be trusted? How do we know that what we have is the Bible is the same as it was originally written? Well, just as the original writings were inspired by the Holy Spirit, those who copied the Bible, who copied the different books, were also underneath the guidance of the Holy Spirit. They had a system in place that made sure that the copies were accurate. Let me explain something to you guys. They would only use clean animal skin, fresh parchment, okay, to both write on and to bind the manuscripts. Each column of writing could have no less than 48 and no more than 60 lines on it. The ink must be black with a special recipe. They must verbalize each word as they write it down. They had to wipe the pen and wash their entire bodies before writing the word Jehovah, and oftentimes even broke the pen after writing it. Their copy had to be reviewed within 30 days. The letters, words, and paragraphs had to be counted. The document became invalid if two letters touched each other. The middle paragraph, word, and letter must correspond to those of the original document. They knew exactly how many words, how many letters, all of this would be counted, and if it was off, they would have to destroy and get rid of the document. The document could be stored only in sacred places, as no document containing God's word could be destroyed. They were stored or buried in Gaza. In Hebrew term meaning hiding place, they were usually kept in synagogues or sometimes in Jewish cemetery. I want you to think about all of that went through, though, to copy the text and why we can have faith and trust that what we have is accurate. This wasn't a small project or a small feat. This had to be done painstakingly and carefully. When it comes to the New Testament, we have copies that go all the way back to around 100 to 150 AD. That's just as the books were being written, just as stuff is being finished up. And we find it amazing at the accuracy of the scriptures that we have compared to these writings that we keep finding. There are some differences they find every now and then, and when the differences are typically a punctuation or a small error in that kind of fashion. It tells no different story. It tells nothing that changes our theology. It's such minute differences. And it all still tells us about the same Jesus. God has worked so hard to keep the word of God true throughout history, even to today. It started when the Bible was written in its original languages. So, when the Bible was originally written, like we said, it was three main languages, and by 380 AD, it was translated to Latin. The problem with the Latin translation was that regular people like you and I, we could not read it. Not even all the priests and the church leaders could read the Bible. We would have to trust the leaders of the church to tell us the truth about the Bible. How would you feel if I came in here on a Sunday morning and I preached to you without even being able to open this and read it? How'd you feel? Odd. It's a great word on that one. Now, there were some sections that were translated to English. Now, contrary to popular belief, the King James Bible was not the first English translation. It was John Wycliffe who did the first English translation in 1382. Even then, without the printing press, it was way too costly for any of us. None of us could have afforded a copy. Wycliffe and his followers were also persecuted for making this copy and for standing up to the Catholic Church at the time. Next was Martin Luther and William Tyndale, who many of you guys are probably familiar with Martin Luther or have heard the name before. He's the one who translated the Bible to German back in 1534-ish with great pushback from the Catholic Church and most of the kingdoms. At the same time, William Tyndale worked on the English translation. Both of them were able to get them out to the public as the printing press was starting to come online. And the cost of books started to come down. Unfortunately, Martin Luther was excommunicated from the church and he was sentenced to death. Though they were never able to capture him, all of his writings had to be destroyed, and copies of his Bibles were banned by the Catholic Church and by the government of the time. William Tyndale was, however, not as lucky and was not able to escape. In 1536, he was defrocked in a very elaborate public ceremony, and he was turned over to the civil authorities to be strangled to death and burned at the stake. His last words have said to have been, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." You see, all of these men and many more thought it was so important that we have the Word of God in our own hands and that we read it for ourselves, that we can come together as the body of Christ to study and learn and to be able to stand up to false teachers, that you don't just have to just take your pastor's word for it. Instead, you can check it. I want you guys to check my messages. I want you guys to open the Word of God, and I want you guys to compare what I said to what it says in here. I'm human. I can make mistakes. And not just that, if we don't do that, we are susceptible to fall to the false teachers. And there's many out there. Wolves in sheep's clothing is nothing new. These men gave their lives so that we could have the Word of God. They pushed to make it available for you and I and others like us. You may be wondering why I found all this information so important to share with you guys this morning, because I realize this is very different than my normal style. Today we have the Word of God available to each of us in abundance. The average American home has just over 4 Bibles in it. That's not including the ones we have on our cell phones, which is one of the most popularly downloaded apps on both Android and iPhones. Sounds great, right? At the same time, this is one of the most biblically illiterate times within our nation. With majority of the adults in the U.S. say they rarely, if ever, read their Bible anymore, let alone spend time studying it. Yet, there's a great rise in the sale of self-help books, motivational and inspirational books, which is the most popular subject within the self-help category, accounted for 4.3 million copies in 2019, and that is up from, in 2013, of 1.4 million copies. 4 times the amount in 6 years. People are out here looking for help. They're looking for guidance on how to live a better life, how to find joy, how to overcome grief, how to do better. Yet, honestly, if we just open the Bibles we have, we'd find the answers to some of the most common problems we face. Psalms 119, verse 105. It's been one of my favorite verses since I was a little kid. Hey, it works. "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." God's word is right there to give us direction. It guides us. If you look at your bulletin today, you're going to find an outline of something called the emergency Bible numbers. I want you to tear that off, and I want you to place that inside your Bible. You see, if you feel upset, weak, lonely, worried, anxious, unhappy, if you've sinned, if you're in danger, depressed, lack of faith, others being unkind to you, Do you need courage? Need direction? You're looking for peace? Are you about to take a trip? Are you labeled an outcast? Struggling financially? Discouraged at work? It's got passages listed right there for you to go to. And by no way is that an exhaustive list. The Bible has so much more to say. Because the Bible has something to say about all of that. It's God's word for you and me. It's there to give us wisdom and guidance. We often cry out, Lord, give me an answer. But we don't ever consult his word to see what he has to say. We believe that the Bible is inspired, infallible, and the only authority in which we use to guide our lives. There's no other book with the right answers on what to do. There's no creed or moral belief that will hold up to the word of God. You know, last week we spoke about the Holy Spirit, and I have heard people say that the Bible is hard to understand at times. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit. If we reach out and we ask him for understanding and wisdom, he'll do just that. He'll give us that wisdom. It tells us in Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth came knowledge and understanding. Right there. You guys know we have brothers and sisters around the world who would love to have access to the Bibles like you and I have. We have brothers and sisters in Christ around the world that don't have their own copy of the Bible. There are pastors with just several pages or just one of the books of the Bible. I think I got 10 copies in my office right now. It's nothing for them to take one page, take it home, study it, remember it, digest it, and then later trade it with someone else so that they can get another page. They have a hunger for God's word. Yet, they don't have it like you and I have it available. You watch when they receive a paper copy, just a small paper copy, and they're kissing it, and they're holding it, and they cherish it, and they will even sometimes wrap it up to protect it. Because it becomes the most precious item they have in their life. There's 52 countries, roughly 52 countries around the world where this book is banned. Just owning a copy or a page could have you killed. Over in China, I don't know if you guys heard this, but effective in March, they just banned all the Bible apps from the app stores. Did you know that? Taking effect March 1st, they also have a new measure going into effect for the admission, for it's called the Measures of the Administration of Internet Religious Information Services. That's a long word saying there. But it's forbidden or strictly limits the information that can be placed online regarding your faith. Let me put it this way. You need a license now from the government in China, effective March 1st, to post a scripture on your Facebook page. Think about that. Those are the conditions our brothers and sisters in Christ are dealing with. They have to have permission from their government to post scripture on Facebook or to put it on a blog. Or make a little video, or for a pastor to send out a broadcast. The Chinese government is even rewriting the Bible right now to fit them. And inside of it, they're saying that Jesus is a sinner. The misinformation. The world hates this book for some reason. This idea is not just China anymore, though. Honestly, guys, here in the West, we've got increased pressure to not read our Bible, or at least don't hold to the authority of it, right? It's not the rule of our lives. Our society is shifting. Our kids and young adults are being told not to take the Bible serious anymore. You look at the celebrities and what they have to say. You know, if you believe in God, that's okay. If you believe in Jesus, that's okay. But don't believe the Bible and take it for the truth and the Word of God. You can maybe pick and choose some scriptures that you like, but don't take it in its entirety. They're being told that the Bible is oppressive and offensive. And it's because in Hebrews 4:12, it tells us, "For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." It convicts us of our sins. It convicts us of what we did wrong. And I think that's why sometimes we don't like picking it up. It's definitely why the world doesn't want us reading it. You see, if someone believes in the Bible, they're worried that they will go against what society says yes to. Because if you believe in the Bible, you may not agree with abortion. If you believe in the Bible, you may believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. If you believe in the Bible, you may believe that God created them male and female. And heaven forbid, if you believe in the Bible, you may believe that without Jesus, someone may end up in hell. People are unwilling to see themselves as the Bible describes us. We're sinful, ruined, guilty, condemned, helpless, weak, incapable, needy, and completely dependent on Christ alone. And this is just too humiliating and humbling for the world to accept. Simply put, people reject the free offer of forgiveness, of sin, and eternal life, because in order to accept God's offer and receive Jesus as the Savior, you first have to acknowledge that you are in need of a Savior. Yet when you find that Savior, it redeems us. And you know what else the Bible tells us? Psalms 39:14 says, "I will praise you because I have been remarkably, wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this well." See, when we're redeemed, these are things that we can hang on to. God doesn't look at us in those mistakes that we've made in our past anymore. We're remarkably and wondrously made. They want us to believe that the things of this world will bring us joy. The truth is, the further you chase that rabbit trail of the world offers us, the sadder and the more desperate it becomes. I've been there. I've lived the life. It's not just me as a pastor telling you. This is me as a person who has lived the life of the world, who's experienced the so-called joy of the world, only to see it destroy me in the long run. The Bible does point us to a Savior. The Bible does show us how God can bring joy and peace back into our lives. We don't get to pick and choose the passages of the Bible we like. We either take all of it or none of it. I'm going to tell you today, no matter where you have been or what you've done in life, if you're looking for answers and directions in your life, pick up your Bible. Read it. Study it. Invite the Holy Spirit to help you understand it. You will find joy like you never before. You will find peace like never before. You'll find direction for your life like never before. And I want to remind you guys of one more quick thing this morning. We can come to church. We can listen to a sermon. We can even read God's word. But James 1:22 tells us, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Take God's word to heart today. Read it, study it, and apply it to your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for giving us directions for this life we live. Father, I pray that this morning that you stir up a hunger in each and every one of us to pick up your word each day, to meditate on it. Father, that we know that we would grow in knowledge in and through your word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. May God strengthen you guys this week. May he grow a hunger inside of you for his word. And may he bless you. God bless. Have a wonderful week.